Basil Shem is book we begin Perek Shemini, the 8th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Gezeirah V'Avedin, and laws of robbery and of a lost object, in the Sefer Nezikin Book of Damages. We will continue in this Perek regarding the obligations that the robber has to the victim. What happens if the victim died? And regarding when there's a robbery from a ger, from a convert who has no relatives. As the Rambam begins Halacha Aleph regarding the inheritors of the victim that died. Someone robs his friend. And the one who was robbed dies, which the previous paragraph we were speaking about regarding if the goslin, the robber, dies. Now we're talking about regarding if the one who was robbed dies. So yachzer hagzeil liyershim. So the robbed item is returned to the inheritors. Vim abdo einishtanis. Now if that item was lost or changed from what it was, which is something that cannot go back to its original state, and therefore the robber acquired it with that change. So nice lemdim how he gives the monetary value to the inheritors. And if the gazan already swore to the nigzel, and then the nigzel dies, then he gives the inheritors the principal and the added fifth, as we said in the previous parak regarding when he denies and he swears to that effect and he admits he has to add on the fifth, that will be given to the yershim. Halacha beis. Now, how goes less aviv? Let's say someone robs from his father, and he swears that he didn't, and the mesa av, and the father dies. If the stolen item is not around or it changed from its original state, and therefore he has no obligation to give the stolen object back to the victims. So, because he stole from his father, and he's also an inheritor, also he makes a calculation with his brothers, regarding the principal and the added fifth, because since he's also a Yerush, so he could take off a portion that belongs to him, and the rest is what he give to the brothers. Now, but if the stolen object is still around, then he has to get rid of the stolen object from his possession. Like it says in the pasuk, the heishav as exil, you have to return the stolen object. Now the figure, therefore, if he gives the stolen object and the fifth, because he denied and swore to that effect, he has to give it to his brothers, so he's mekayim that mitzvah. Then he makes a calculation with them, and then he takes back his portion of the principal and the fifth from other assets that they're dividing. Halacha gimel. Now, if he has no brothers, comes out that this robber himself is the only one inheriting his father that he stole from, and he has no one to return to. So then you take away the stolen object from him and you give it to his own sons. But again, as long as the stolen object does not remain in his possession. Now let's say this one sole inheritor son that stole, he himself does not have any sons to give it to. Then you give it to his creditor, he lends it out, or he gives it for charity. But as long as he got rid of the stolen object from his possession, nifter, then he has fulfilled his obligation. Even if he gifts it to someone or he pays back a debt with it, as long as he notifies the recipient and he tells them, this is what I stole from my father, and that's what I'm giving you. Halacha Dalet continues, related, like when one robs a convert. So too, if someone steals from a convert who has no inheritors and his properties are hefk when he dies and whoever merits it gets it, so it's a little bit similar to the halacha of the previous case, where there's no one to give it to, or that one merits it. So he steals from a ger, he swears to him that he didn't, and then he goes and he admits. So then the ger says, okay, you owe me what you stole from me. And then he puts it upon him, hakol milva, everything like a loan. Meaning, the principal and the fifth, it's not anymore just a stolen object. You owe it to me, and it's like a debt that you owe, like a loan that you owe. Then the achach meis ager, then the convert dies. So afbish hazachah b'gzeil, although now the goslin, or the previously termed goslin, now merits it from hefker because he's in possession of it right now. He has to get rid of it from his possession, similar to when someone steals from his father in the ways that we mentioned previously, that even though there's no one else, like he's the one that's holding on to the bag, it doesn't make a difference. You can't hold on to the item that, even though now you inherited, you have to get rid of the stolen object. Halacha hey, but when do we say this, that the goslin merits into the stolen object that he stole? It's because he had time. If he had admitted in the middle, before the ger died, and therefore he was liable to pay the ger, the principal, and the fifth, and since the ger does not have yarshim, so the goslin is zeicher from hefker, just that he has to get rid of it, as we mentioned. Let's say he stole from a convert that doesn't have inheritors, v'nishbala, he swears to that fact, no, it's not true, I didn't take, umeis ager, and the ger dies. And only after he dies does he admit to his guilt. He says, no, really, I did steal. Actually, he has to pay the principal and the added theft to the kahanim of that mishmer, which the kahanim was split into 24 mishmeres. Every week was another mishmer. Because this is explicit passing the Torah by Midbar Perek Hey, Vim Ein Leish Goyel, if the man does not have any redeemers, that then you give it to the kahanim. But then he brings his carbon ashram, his guilt offering, and then he gets atonement. But that's exactly because it has to be given in those situations to the kohanim. As the Rambam continues aloch above, because from tradition they learned, that if the man does not have a redeemer, that then it's going to be given to the kohanim. That's begir shemeis, v'im lo yesh makasa b'dava. The Pasuk talks explicitly regarding a comrade who dies, who has no inheritors, because, as the Gemara says, is there any Jew that does not have any relatives, doesn't have any redeemer? You go back, till the obvious, you'll find some connection. In contrast to Ger, has no connection whatsoever. Now, v'ashem zeh ha'amakan, and says in the Pasuk, l'hashem v'ashem elav, ha'ashem amushav l'ashem l'kayin, that's who agzela oydemeh. That actually refers to the stolen object or its monetary value, not a carbon ashem. Because right after that it says mevad el hakipurim, which discusses his ram that he has to bring as an ashem. Now, rather the word ashem actually refers to what he's guilty for, what he owes, which is the principle. Lefikach, therefore, hamarze gezel ager balad. If someone returns the stolen object of a comrade at nighttime, lo yotz is not filled with this obligation, shaday ashem kurar kasim. This guilt offering that he, the Torah, is really referring to his principle that he's paying back, it's called an ashem, which is comparing it to the carbon ashem. You can't sacrifice a carbon ashem at nighttime. So you can't fulfill your returning of the stolen object of the ger at nighttime either. And the inakam chulk and gezel ager can get gezel ager. The kam are not allowed to split and say, okay, you take that gezel ager, I'll take this, what was stolen from a ger that's being given to us. Just like you can't say, okay, you know, instead of us splitting that carbon ashem, that ashem, you take that one, I'll take this one. No, you can't do that. So too, this has the same halachas like a carbon ashem. Each one has to divide each one. Halacha zayin, kol gezel hager, anything that was stolen from a ger, that if you're going to give it back, as we said, he has no yerushim, you have to give it back to the kahanim of that mishmer. If not every coin in that group will get at least a prutah's worth of return, so then the one who's giving it back will not fulfill his obligation of returning. Krishna says in the pasuk, "Hamushav l'Hashem, that which was returned to Hashem, like coin should go to the coin," which means until that there is a return for every single coin, and return is only if at least a prut is worth. So therefore, you have to make sure that each one's going to get at least a prut is worth. Now, why does it say when you steal from a convert? It says in the pasuk, "V'me'ein le'ishgoyel." If the man does not have a redeemer, okay, so then you give it to the kohen, but the halacha would apply not only for a man, but also if she's a woman, the convert, or a minor. Why say ish? To tell you, sha'ish atatzach lachar, to only tell you by an adult, by a man, you have to investigate, ulechazulav, and to check, im yesh le yoshim, o im ein le, if he has inheritors or not. But if the ger was a minor, it's not like an English girl, like as if you have to check. You don't have to go and try to check. The assumption is that he has no inheritors because a ger who converts has no prior relationships and the child can't have children. So definitely, you know that there's no inheritors and you just give it to the kahanim. Now the kahanim, as it applies to what was stolen from a ger that's given back to them, is kimekabel matanzim. They have a halachic status as those who are receiving gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which like all the other matnas kuhuna, which they're not like really the inheritors of the ger. Now lefikach, therefore, hagezel chametz min hager shein leyershim. So if someone steals chametz, leavened items from a ger that has no yershim, v'aval of a pesach, and now pesach passes by when he has, let's say, that piece of cake. And now, when Pesach, it was called Chometz, but Pesach becomes forbidden to have an offer. So Chayv Litin Lekan is dumb of Kshas Exil. You have to give to the Kan the monetary value of that cake, as it was when you stole, which had value before Pesach, because Shemit Neulahem Achshav, if you would give it to them now as is, it's not a gift, Shadir also Manot, it's forbidden to have benefit from it. Because Ve'ilo Haya Ger Kaim, if the Ger would still be alive, you could tell him, hey, what's yours is in front of you, and he gave back the Chometz itself, even though they're not worth anything, like we already explained this in Perikim Alokha Dal. In contrast, the Kanma, not the Yershim, if they were Yershim, you could give back as is. They're those who get the gift, and the gift has to be worth money, and therefore, you give it Shasak Zela, not like it's worth right now. Alokha Tez, Ram continues regarding the Mishmer of the Kahanim, that merit, as it applies to a Koyin. Let's say a kohen himself stole from a ger that has no inheritance. The nishblei and he swears, no, it's not true. And then umeis ager, and then the ger dies, and then the kohen admits, because now it's the halacha that it goes to the kahanim if he admits after that. And even if he admits, when it's his turn, his week of the mishmer, when they're serving in the Beis HaMikdash, he does not merit in the gzela, which is already in his possession anyway. Rather, you take it away from him to split amongst all his fellow kahanim of that mishmer. And the reason that is because the moment that he admits, so now really the principal and the fifth belongs to Hashem. And then Hashem gives that as a gift. Like all the other matnas kohen told the kahanim, and he's one of them, but it's only one of them. It's not like he gets to hold on to it. If someone steals from a ger, and he swears falsely to him, and then the ger dies. And so he separates his carbon, Hashem, and what he stole, so that he could go and bring it to the kahanim, like we mentioned in the previous halachas. Now the case continues. However, the gazan himself, he died before getting atonement. Now it's important to know is that the primary law is really that the gazlan really merits in what he stole from the ger, from Hefker, after the ger dies. The Torah just obligates him to give back those monies to the kahanim and bring a carbon asham to atone for himself because he denied and he swore falsely. But in this case, he died already. Sorry, b'nei ha-gazlim, so now the sons of the thief, Yershim is kesef exil, they actually inherit the stolen monies because the whole point to give it back is for atonement. You can't atone for someone who already died. Or even the stolen object itself they get to keep. The carbon ashram that he already had separated, Yirashi, but Mamam should graze until it develops a blemish, and then it's brought for a Nadavis. Commission Adam Kremlin, like we explained, in its place in Hilchas Pshul Magdashim Perigdal, Halacha Yudalf. Halacha Yudalf. Now, let's say, however, Nosna Gazna Sakes of Anshe Mishma. Let's say the robber already gave the stolen monies to the Kanam of that group. But then he died before he got atonement, before his carbon ashram was brought. So the inheritors of Gazan cannot try to get back the stolen monies from the Kahanim by claiming, wait a second, and the whole point was for atonement, which was with the Karban Hashem and the stolen monies. But he never got the Karban Hashem brought. So we want back the monies that our father gave you. No, they can't take that back. Hashem, it says in the Pasuk, Isha Asher Yitin LaKohen Lo Yiyah. The man that will give it to the Kohen, to him it's going to be. And therefore it remains that those Kahanims. And even if the robber was a minor, Sheimat Nosem Matana, where his gift is not a gift, in the Yerushim Etzim Yad Akanim, the inheritors cannot remove from the Akanim. That's what the Pasuk is telling you, that the Akanim get to keep it. Halacha Yud Beis. Nosin Nes Akesev La'achas Min HaMishmaris. If let's say the Gazan gave the money to one of the Mishmaris, of the 24 Mishmaris, not of this week. Ves Ashram Mishmaris Rushi Shabbat, then the Karban Ashram was given to the Mishmar, which is this week. Yachzer HaKesev, the money has to be brought back, Eitzela Ashram, to where the Karban Hashem is, which is to the Kahanim of that Mishmar, which is set for that week. Because the group that took, the group of Kahanim that took the monies, which is not their week, so they didn't merit it, because it's not their week. And therefore we take it away from them. Halacha Gimel continues regarding that the order of that the principle comes before the Karban Hashem. You don't sacrifice the guilt offering for this, Asham Gizelis, for the one who stole from the Ger, Atcha Yagza Hagazna Karen Labam. Until the robber gives back the principal to the owners. Which that's what the Pasuk really says. The Ashram, as we said, refers to the monies. And the Karban Ashram is saying Asher Yechupar, which in the future tense, not Asher Kipar, in the past tense. Sounds like that when he's giving back the Ashram, which is the monies, he has not yet atonement, and he didn't bring his carbon, because that's going to be. So therefore, again, if it's a regular person, until you give the stolen monies back to the owners, or the kayanim, or to the kanim, im hoye gezel ger, if it was stolen from a ger, shein liyishim, which has no inheritance. Nos nesaker in the hikar v'ashamay. So if he gave the principal back and he brought his carbon asham, this couple gets atonement. Ve'in achimish ma'akav akapara. And the additional fifth that we said that one has to add on for this denial and swearing falsely, that does not hold back the validity to invalidate the carbon asham. But v'chayv lit nesachimish achav akapara. But one still would have the obligation of giving the additional fifth after his atonement. Halachi Dalit contains regarding cases when one is exempt from the Chemish. Ha'avodim, slaves, vashtars, and documents, vakakaris, and real estate, and land, all these things one does not swear when he denies something. Imbem toysef es Chemish, there, even if he does swear falsely, which he doesn't have to, he does not add on an additional fifth, Kishnemet says in the Pasuk B'yikra, it says, v'chichesh v'amisa b'pekon, that he denies by his friend regarding the deposit. Now, kalu amma be'in, whatever said over there, all the cases mentioned over there regarding the liability of chaymish, like pekadin, tsumasyad, gezel, oishak, aveda, all those cases, metalton, who they're movable items, and begufa mammon, they have the intrinsic monetary value. So Yotzer Karkois, that excludes land, which is not movable. And Vavadim Shukshel Karkois, the Pasuk elsewhere equates with Nachatam Esn Levenechem, compares slaves to a Nachla, to a Yerusha of land. Those slaves have the same halachic status like land. And the Yotzer Shtaris, and that excludes documents, which they don't have intrinsic value. They might represent and be proof and be able to collect money, but they don't have intrinsic monetary value. So too, let's say it was a case of when he stole from Gerd that has no inheritance, in Mechim Nekan does not go back to Kahanim this fifth. There is no liability of a Chaimish in these three cases. Now, regarding stealing land, once we're mentioning land, land itself was also never acquired by the Gazlan. It remains in its owner's domain. And even if it's sold to 1,000 people, one after the other, and the Siyashabam, the owner already gave up hope, and had it been movable items, so then obviously the consumer would acquire it with Yush and Shin Rishus. No, land cannot be stolen. That is a Chazeres L'Nigzav L'Idom. It's given back to the one who was stolen from without any monies having to be given. Because it's just like his. He just walks right back onto his property. Now, whomever it's being taken away from, he goes back to the guy who sold it to him to get his money back. And the second seller goes back to the first seller. Until the guy who, the original buyer, who bought it from the robber, goes to collect his money from the robber. He takes it from him. Commissioner's bar, like we're going to explain in the coming chapter.